All right, what is up, guys? As promised on Instagram, I said that me and my buddy Noah Arney, you can introduce yourself. I don't have to introduce you.
All right, I'm Noah Arney. I go to school with Austin at UCM, and we are avid lifters.
We are avid lifters. And what are you studying at UCM?
Exercise science with a minor in sport nutrition.
There we go. And obviously, actually, you might know, you may not know. I'm a business major, so, you know, we have a passion for similar things, but we're studying different things as well. So this will be very interesting conversations here on this podcast, which we still haven't had a name for this kind of duo yet. If you got a good one, let me know. I was kind of thinking like protein talk, something like that, but we'll figure it out. Pretty much plan for today though, and I want to keep all these podcasts around 10 to 15 minutes. I know a lot of you don't like to listen to them too long, and let's be honest, a lot of you guys aren't doing cardio for more than that long either. So we got six questions here that were asked by people on Instagram. And pretty much, I'm not going to say who asked the question simply because I forgot to write it down. You'll know who you are, though. They're all relative to lifting, training, nutrition. If you got any future topics for us, let us know. It doesn't even have to pertain to fitness, lifting, nutrition, all that stuff. But we'll go ahead and kick it off with the first question. And I'm going to really give this one to Noah. So this was, I wish I could remember your name, man. I just don't remember who asked this question. But he asked, DUP versus linear periodization. DUP stands for daily undulating periodization. I'm guessing that he wants to know the difference, maybe what is better. I don't know. You take it away. Tell us your thoughts.
Okay. So when I hear daily undulating periodization, I think of using different rep ranges on different days of the week. So say one day I'll bench press for fives, another day I'll bench press for eights. And this likely came from the programs that would have like a speed day, a hypertrophy day, and a strength day, where they'd use all different ranges, rep ranges for the same movement within the same week. Can be beneficial for strength, I think. For a lot of people, it's just individual. Linear is where the intensity goes up each week, meaning the weight on the bar, but the volume in terms of sets and reps decrease. So you may do a 5x5 week one. The next week you may, just an example, 4x4, 3x3, work up to a one rep max or something, and then deload.
Okay, so, well, here's a question for you. So, I mean, what would you recommend to maybe, I don't know how long this kid's been lifting, if he's trying to build strength, build muscle, say for someone who's wanting to build a physique, build muscle, and he hasn't been lifting for more than a year, bouncing around different programs, and he were to ask you this question, what would you tell him?
I'd tell him not to think too much about details like periodization, just lift hard in the 6 to 12 rep range. I think it's definitely beneficial to use different rep ranges within movements. So like the same movement pattern. So bench press for heavy eights the other day, your other push day. Maybe flat dumbbell bench for 10s or 12s. But I would just focus on lifting compound movements in the 6 to 12 rep range and progressing over time, especially if you're only a few years into lifting. That's going to be the best advice for you.
Dude, and that's the thing. I see a lot of like beginner lifters, people who want to grow muscle, all this stuff. They will start talking, you know, throwing out these terms such as linear periodization, et cetera, et cetera. But there's so many other underlying priorities that should be taken care of first. I mean, the silly stuff that no one wants to talk about, no one wants to really apply as a form, you know, tracking the calories, getting enough sleep, stuff like that. So, you know, if you're a beginner, focus on that stuff. I think you'll probably, if you're really a true beginner, you're really going to overload kind of on your own just by being, you know, realizing that you're stronger, you want to put more weight on. It'll be pretty simple, but it always is good to have a structure. So I hope that kind of answers that question. Enough, and you know, you can always send me a DM, lovely DM, and we can discuss further. But next question is sleep for muscle growth. Now, this is really interesting to me because I feel like I'm someone that just requires so much damn sleep. Like, I don't know. Do you feel that way too? Like, I feel like 8 hours is not enough. Like
I kind of have like a optimal range for myself. I know if I get any less than 7 hours, then I feel like crap. If I get more than 9 hours, then I also feel like crap. So I usually just try to get an average of 8 hours per night, which seems to be what most recommendations are.
Yeah, it's like I think the national recommendation is like 7 to 9 or something like that. I thought this was really interesting, though. I was reading an article that shows that they took people who were getting under 7 hours of sleep. They had more like muscle deterioration. Their especially athletes, endurance athletes, performance was suffered a lot.
Much higher risk for injury as well.
higher risk for injury. And what was interesting is once they started sleeping, the study group in the optimal range, 7 to 9, their increases, their cortisol decreased, their recovery increased, and it's just setting you up for more muscle growth, better performance. But what was most interesting to me is when they were giving people extra sleep, 10 hours and over, and they actually had a slight increase in performance and recovery from the people in the optimal range. Now, it wasn't anything substantial, but the fact that more can be slightly better is pretty interesting. Now, do you know anything about taking naps, how that comes into account?
If you're missing out on sleep and not getting the recommended amount of hours, naps can definitely play a big role in your recovery and help you train better. I know a lot of people that strive off 30-hour-minute naps whenever they can because they just simply don't have the time from kids and stuff to get enough sleep at night. So
here's a really interesting question I have for you. So if you're a college student or you like to go out on the weekends, what kind of approach is better? Someone who's waking up hungover, but let's say they're stubborn, they like to work hard, just say that they did it. Is it more beneficial for them to go into the workout on 4 hours of sleep, hungover as fuck, just to get it done? Or should they just take that day off, recover, and do it the next day?
So I think the answer to that would be to take the day off if you cannot provide an overload. So if you're so hungover, the goal of going into the gym and lifting is to provide progressive overload to your muscles, and if you can't do that, it's not worth it to go into the gym and just mess around and have a terrible session. But if you're really keen on, like, you're gonna go to the gym no matter what, but you're that hungover and feel weak and try to lift maximally, you're gonna get hurt. So maybe it might be a good idea to take like a light day.
Yeah, like, just go do some cardio, use something if you gotta do something. But don't let one of your workouts suffer because of your wantingness to just go beast.
Yeah, one day off the gym isn't going to kill all your progress.
Not at all. So, next question, and I mean, this is very relevant to a lot of people. You're coming off a weight loss. You just lost a lot of weight. Maybe this is your first time dieting. You lost the weight fast or slow, whatever it may be. You lost a substantial amount of weight. Well, you find yourself relapsing after that and gaining quite a bit of it back. What would be the main reasons that would happen?
I think a lot of times people are too restrictive in their diets when they are cutting. So then when they do get to where they are, where they want to be, they end up binging and just going back to their old ways. They're not exactly sure how to maintain what they've achieved, which I think is huge where maintenance periods come in. A lot of people just go bulk cut, taking a low volume maintenance period, just maintaining your body weight can play a huge role. We call them diet breaks, just to not have that stress of dieting on you anymore.
Yeah. And what's also interesting is a lot of people most people probably don't have a full understanding of this, but obviously when you're dieting and you have a weight loss goal, once you reach that goal, it's going to come to a point where you don't need to be in a deficit anymore. You've reached the goal. You need to give yourself a diet break, something like that. So you hit your new low weigh-in. You're happy. Anytime you increase your calories, even if you're increasing it to just maintain your weight, if you're not eating enough calories and you're not in a surplus to gain weight, if you're just maintaining your weight, you're going to gain water weight, water retention, because the increase in carbs, water retention is pretty heavily weighed by genetics, if I can remember. And I just think that's interesting because for me, I can gain like 5 to 6 pounds in a day, eating a lot of sodium, high carb when I'm eating out. So that could really be a big mindset thing. And you can't let that get to your head and think that that's weight gain, fat gain, because it's simply not.
You can't gain 2-3 pounds of fat in a few days. It's unless you are actually in like a 3,500 calorie surplus. So to think it's actually fat is a bad mistake that a lot of people make, actually.
Yeah, so I mean, just stay away from the binge eating. Try to think of it more as a lifestyle decision rather just in blocks of changing things up completely.
Yeah, take maintenance periods. It's not a stall in progress. It's setting you up for more progress down the road.
Exactly. Perfect. So let's see here. Let's look at this list. Okay. The question was, quote for quote, how long of a bulk is optimal? Now, I'm assuming that you're meaning to really ask how long should you be in a surplus for before it's not as effective or maybe harming you, so to speak. So, I mean, how long would you typically recommend someone be in a surplus if they're trying to gain weight, grow muscle?
Shoot, as long as they want to be, I'd say kind of depends on where your body fat's at. I wouldn't ever recommend anybody to get above 20% body fat. But if you're comfortable with where you're at and you're like, say 10 to 20, I would, keep bulking up, keep progressing in the gym until you feel that it's time to cut. But I'd say minimum to really get some training momentum, I think you need at least like 3 consecutive mesocycles,
in a surplus,
5-6 months in a surplus of hard training.
Dude, and that's really what I'm trusting this year. Like, pretty much after seeing you go through those masses and seeing consistent strength. I mean, go follow this dude on Instagram. You'll know what I'm talking about. What's your Instagram name?
Noah_Arnie.
Because what I was doing in the past when I learned about the mesocycles, Renaissance periodization, all the exercise science majors here, I just have became friends with a lot of them. I've known Noah forever, and they've taught me a lot. I was so scared to do multiple massing mesocycles in a row because I really can't give you a good answer. Maybe I was just afraid of just looking bigger at a higher body fat. It doesn't matter though. Like I've realized that down in my core, what I want is to grow the most amount of muscle mass. And in order to do that, you can't just spend 2 months in a surplus and expect a lot of muscle growth in return.
Yep.
So that's, I'm looking forward to getting pretty hefty for about 8 months straight.
Yeah, I think if you want to truly improve your physique and add muscle mass, you need to be in a surplus. A lot of people get scared to be in a surplus because, oh, they're going to put on fat, but that's just part of it. But if you like the way you look now and just want to maintain that physique, then by all means do that, but don't expect to put on an appreciable amount of muscle.
Preach that shit. Now, next. Balancing school, work, and gym life. Now, you're taking 15 credit hours, right?
15.
Okay. You're not working.
I don't currently have a job.
No. Okay. So, really, my advice with this is, and this is going to sound really simple, but most people don't do it, so, is create a schedule for yourself. I noticed that when I have a schedule, I am so much more time efficient. I'm getting more things done. And a schedule, like people think of a schedule, usually think of a calendar or the typical planner. Honestly, a schedule could be as simple as the first thing you do when you wake up or the night before, thinking about, you know, tomorrow, is write a to-do list. And a really important thing to do with a to-do list is to make sure you mark which one on the, activities on the list is the priority. Because you can have a to-do list, they're not all going to have the same priority. So I think it's great to write a to-do list, mark which ones are the priority, and just get it done that way. And you can do that 2-4 days in advance. And it's just good to know on Monday I'm going to be doing this, on Tuesday I'm going to be doing this, on Wednesday I'm going to be doing this. And I think Sunday evening is a great time to plan for that.
I agree 100%.
So just take that for what it is, but I really think that is literally the key with balancing anything. Seriously. So we're going to wrap it up with this last one, hitting calories while working full-time desk job. And we were talking about this before we started recording this podcast. It really depends. Like you said, hitting calories. Are you trying to gain weight? Are you trying to lose weight? We'll go ahead and tackle both scenarios though. So any advice for someone working a full-time desk job who's trying to lose weight, having trouble, maybe they're eating too much, or why, help them understand maybe why that would be.
So, if you're working a full-time desk job, your caloric expenditure is going to be much lower than someone who's not working a desk job all day, because you're sedentary, you're sitting around. So that's an important consideration when you're setting your calorie goals. If you're having trouble gaining weight, I sound like a dick, but it's just like, eat more. If you might not have access to food, bring food with you. You might not have access to food at work. Bring food with you. Go grab some food. Shouldn't be that hard, considering your expenditure is probably not a lot.
Yeah.
As far as cutting goes, meal prep is going to be huge. Having those meals already made, already planned out for the day so that you can hit your calorie goals.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're trying to gain weight and you're around at a desk job, and I've never worked a desk job, but I know what it's like working in a small space for 8 hours out of the day. And it really comes down to what you said, meal prepping. If you are dieting, even if you're meal planning, you know, the prep is having the meals ready to go, knowing that it hits your calories is really key. So download the app MyFitnessPal. If you're working that desk job, you better damn well put your activity level at either sedentary or lightly active, unless you are doing some freaky shit outside of your 8 hours a day.
And I'll just say this right now. If you're not gaining weight, you're not in a surplus. And if you're not losing weight, you're not in a deficit. Despite what you may think, you may be eating like a rabbit and not losing weight. Well, you're not in a deficit. I'm sorry.
Wait, do rabbits eat? Or no, they're not.
They eat like grass.
Right. Okay.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah. So don't eat like a barely fucking anything. Rabbit. God damn it. Well, shoot. I hope that helps. I mean, it is what it is. It's just like, you know, you got to know why you're losing weight, why you're not losing weight, or why you're not gaining weight. Comes down to calories in versus calories out. Are you eating enough? Are you not eating enough? As simple as that. Find the foods that are calorically dense. Plan out your meals. Track the night before. Know what you're going to eat.
Yeah.
Simple as that. I think that's going to do it for today. This has been running. 17 minutes. Dude, isn't it easy? Like, this is your first podcast, right?
Got carried away.
Dude, you get carried away, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited for this series. If you listen to this, you should let me know what you think it should be called. I like Protein Talk a lot. And I'm probably going to put this voiceover maybe on a future IGTV video. So comment below too. And that's going to be it. Go make sure to give Noah_Arnie a follow on Twitter. Or sorry, do you even use
Twitter? Don't use Twitter.
Yeah, don't use Twitter. Instagram.
Me on Instagram. I put a lot of stuff on my stories and I post a lot of training videos
with
technique and read the captions. I go into depth on my captions.
So. Yeah. If you want to see more of the Instagram-y type shit, all the Canva, the infographs, all the just, you know, very edited shit, come over to my page. I'll post raw shit every once in a while, but he's posting raw clips.
Posing in front of cars.
Posing in front of cars that aren't even mine. You know how I do it. So that's going to be it. We'll see you next time. Let us know some questions. I appreciate y'all for listening.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.